Radio Prague News.
Candidates for president will be able to spend a maximum of 50 million crowns on their presidential campaign. The finance minister has defended his decision not to release the results of an audit at the Constitutional Court. And the Czech Helsinki Committee says that in the past decade, anti-Roma sentiment in the country has risen by 15%. Candidates for president will be able to spend a maximum of 50 million crowns on their presidential campaign, 40 million in the first round of elections and 10 more in the second round, according to an agreement reached between the ruling parties and the opposition Social Democrats. Information regarding the amount spent and the source of the money should be available on the internet. Czechs are due to vote in direct presidential elections early next year. President Klaus's second term in office will expire in March of 2013. The finance minister has defended his decision not to release the results of an audit at the Constitutional Court. Minister Kalousek came under fire from the economics daily Hospodarské noviny on Thursday, which suggested he had moved to prevent the release of an audit which uncovered abuse of public funds at the Constitutional Court. The paper wrote that the audit had uncovered irregularities in accounting for petrol and other problems. Finance Minister Kalousek said in response to the article that the chairman of the Constitutional Court, Pavel Rychetský, had questioned the audit in connection with the court's independence, which was guaranteed by the Constitution. Mr. Kalousek said he did not want to take issue with this argument and had decided not to take the matter further. The Czech Helsinki Committee says that in the past decade, anti-Roma sentiment in the country has risen by 15%. Petr Uhl, a member of the committee, said that according to various polls and studies, anti-Roma sentiment among Czechs had risen from 60 to 75% in the last decade. He said the negative attitude towards the Roma minority was a contributing factor to the steady decline in the living standard of Romanies and was straining relations between the majority population and the Roma. On the other hand, Mr. Uhl praised the work of individuals and NGOs working to change this. Police President Petr Alessi is under increasing pressure from Interior Minister Jan Kubice, who is questioning the manner in which the police president was selected for the post. Alessi was appointed to the post by a special committee set up by Mr. Kubice's predecessor Radek Jón of Public Affairs, whose party recently joined the opposition. Since there is no mechanism under which the police president can be recalled, Mr. Kubice is casting doubt on the selection process which brought him to office. The opposition Social Democrats say this is a dangerous procedure since it might cast doubt on the validity of the decisions Mr. Lessi made while in office. The legend of Czech horse racing, jockey Josef Vaňa, is reported to have injured himself in training. According to the internet daily Novinky.cz, the 60-year-old Vaňa reportedly fell from his horse on Thursday morning and suffered a broken thigh bone. He was taken to the teaching hospital in Plzeň. Vaňa is 8 times winner of the Velká Pardubice steeplechase, and in 2009 he received a medal for merit. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The upcoming weekend is expected to bring unseasonably hot weather, with clear skies and daytime highs reaching 28 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvi. Many thanks for tuning in. Today we talk to the woman holding the government together, Karolina Pík, about her emerging political organization and where things go from here. After that, Czech language studies in the United States. And in today's feature panorama, we'll be looking at Czech public opinion on politics amid infighting, scandals and crises. I hope you'll be staying with us today for all that and more. Here on Radio Prague. Just 2 years ago, the name Karolina Pík was known to few people outside the issue of playgrounds in Prague 1. Today, she's the keystone in the fractured coalition government. Last week, the 36-year-old deputy prime minister caused an upheaval in the government when she abandoned the junior coalition party Vietsi Verena, or Public Affairs, of which she has been a member since 2007, and took 8 of the party's MPs with her. The result of the split has been the departure of Public Affairs from government to the opposition and a waver-thin majority in parliament for the centre-right reform parties. That majority is based entirely on the newly emerging party around Ms. Peak, which at present can only be called the Public Affairs Defectors. Is it the start of a new political organization with long-term goals, or a quick fix intended to allow the government to ride out the next 2 years? That's the first question we put to Carolina Peak on Thursday. You've taken the first steps towards starting a new party. Is this going to be a long-term political organization, or is your main intention to ride out the next 2 years?
The idea to start a political party only just arose a week ago when I decided quite suddenly to leave Vietsi Verena, and other people decided to join me. I would like to give a chance not just to me, but also those people to find a new platform and without joining another existing party, start a brand new party with a long-term prospect rather than just a two-year intention to go into the regional or Senate elections, but something long-term for sure.
So can you describe your plans at all for the long-term? How will the party differ from other center-right parties, and do you have a name?
We don't have a name yet. We're brainstorming over it currently. Briefly, it should be a liberal democratic party, and in many ways, actually, I would like to go back to what I joined politics with, together with Vietsi Verena, a center-right party serving people, legible, without ultimatums, providing alternatives to the current big parties that I think in many ways have disappointed the electorate, and which gave a chance to new parties before. Unfortunately, Vietsi Verena has disappointed people in many ways.
Where is the funding coming from?
Well, the funding will be a big task. First of all, we want to create our website where every crown which we will get will be easily trackable, and the donator can be tracked down to a particular person, because I know financing of political parties raises a lot of questions around Vietsi Verena and other parties as well. So my colleague Lenka Andrisová is just now in the process of preparing a financing and sponsorship program for the new party.
Well, getting a vote of confidence tomorrow in Parliament is one thing. Are you indeed confident that afterwards your MPs will continue to support the government's reforms? And how will Public Affairs, having indicated that they will not support much of the government's program now, how does that affect the government's stability for the future?
I'm very much aware of the fact that it's not just tomorrow's vote of confidence that matters to this government. The majority will be smaller than what we had before, but I really do hope that it will be more reliable. And already next week, when the parliament session will continue, we will see how reliable it is and how united it is.
Have you spoken with the prime minister about ministerial posts? Will there be any changes?
No, not yet. We have to wait for the dust to settle down. And the first priority, of course, is putting in a new Minister of Education. This ministry has been without a minister for a while, and it's never good for the department to be without a leader.
And that minister will now come from your faction?
Right now, I don't see a reason why that should change, but of course, we will be talking to the Prime Minister about that, as well as any other possible changes which he might suggest. But he hasn't hinted anything like that to me so far.
That was Deputy Prime Minister Carolina Peak. This is Radio Prague. The University of California, Berkeley, is one of 11 American universities where students can study Czech language, literature, and culture. Small but dedicated groups of students grapple with the challenges of Czech grammar and pronunciation in up to 3 classes per week. Despite budget cuts throughout all departments of public universities in California, Czech, a niche Central European language, still has its place at the Department of Slavic Languages and maintains enthusiasm among those eager to learn it. Radio Prague's Olga Mullen has this report from Berkeley, California.
UC Berkeley has been offering Czech studies for over 80 years. Immediately after the Velvet Revolution in 1989, Czech classes reached their peak with nearly 25 students. Today, the courses have become significantly smaller, but the dedication remains. Family heritage, a Czech spouse, or simply a personal interest in anything Czech are oft-quoted reasons for taking the class. One of the students, William Jenkins from Vermont, explains why he chose to study the Czech language.
Jmenuji se William Jenkins, jsem student na Berkeley, jsem postgraduální student v historické fakultě. I've been studying here about 6 months, and the hardest part is the cases, I think. And actually being able to follow the grammar and use it with some sort of functional utility. I started learning it because I was interested in Czech literature originally and Czech film. I love Jiří Menzil and Jaromil Jiriš. And originally, I just wanted to read novels in Czech, and that's why I wanted to learn it. But as an undergraduate, I majored in cultural history of the Slavic world, essentially, and focused mostly on Czech history. And so now I'm in the PhD program here learning about Czech history, and I would like to be able to actually interview people who were around in the 50s and 60s, so speaking Czech is going to be a necessity.
William takes an advanced class of independent study in Czech reading as well as conversational Czech. In his own words, after 6 months of studying Czech, he is now able to read a story with the help of a dictionary. I spoke with the lecturer Ellen Langer, a core faculty member who has been teaching the Czech language at Berkeley for over 20 years. Ellen, whose native language is English, learned Czech at UC Berkeley herself, as well as in Prague and Olomouc in the Czech Republic. Ellen talks about the methods and teaching Czech in her introductory and advanced courses.
I use a lot of Czech novels, Czech histories. I direct people toward the Czech Wikipedia sometimes. And I use actually a fair number of elementary school textbooks when I teach. I have a number of the Vlastní věda and some little science book, Prvouka type thing. I do a lot with either recipes or articles about food online. Sometimes I'll just send my students and say, find a department store and look at all the furniture. Find an office supply store and look at all the office supplies and bring in a list of what you would buy.
Are there any particular websites that you use?
Obviously, we use Radio Praha and we use Lidové noviny.
Aside from the regular class schedule, the students meet at the so-called Czech Club approximately once a month. Professor Langer screens Czech films, hosts native speakers, and prepares events that will help broaden students' understanding of Czech life and culture. She aims to provide a global education about the Czech Republic and to offer her students more than just a language skill. Whether as an academic subject or for personal use, the two-year program at UC Berkeley gives the students a good working knowledge of Czech language and culture. Despite decreasing funds at the university, the Berkeley students are not discouraged to continue in their Czech-related activities. As William Jenkins says, it is not only the students' motivation, but also the teacher's devotion, which plays a significant role in keeping the Czech language alive on the campus.
All of the instructors that I've had here, Ellen and then two teaching assistants, have gone out of their way to give extra instruction to anybody who approaches them. Ellen is always willing to just set aside her office hours to just teach you something new. Or if you have a problem, even the teaching assistants, who are all, you know, graduate students working on their own work in addition to teaching classes, will go out of their way to explain something if you're having a problem. Will go out of their way to give you extra materials. There's a very small number of people, but they're very dedicated to what they do, which I think is fantastic. And I'm not sure that you would find that everywhere in the United States at every university.
Many thanks to Olga Mullen for that report. If you're just tuning in, then thank you for joining us. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name's Christian Falvey. Later on in the show, we'll have another episode of our language learning program, The ABCs of Czech. But first, it's time for this week's Panorama, brought to you by Daniela Lazarova.
Halfway through the government's term in office, Czechs are so fed up with political infighting and corruption scandals that 80% of them are in favour of early elections. For this week's Panorama, I spoke to Jan Hartl from the STEM polling agency about the mood of the public, what people think of Czech politicians, and whether the developments of the past few months have robbed them of any illusions they may have had regarding politics.
Well, they don't have too much illusions about the politics. To put it in simple words, people think that politics is a dirty business and that a majority of politicians are crooks, and that their main motivation to enter politics was in fact to get money from politics. So they are not very much surprised by corruption affairs and nepotist practices in politics. What's relatively new in our situation is that people start to see political elites as professionally incompetent. They have not many illusions about their moral profile, but they thought that in contrast to former communist leaders, they are much more professionally sound and they are much more competent. And recently it seems that they start to lose even those illusions, and that's the main change of perception, that formerly they thought, well, after decades of communism, the country is devastated and it will take a lot of time before it gets better. The most important is that our children will live in a better world than we do. And recently we can observe a decreasing proportion of people who believe that the children would be better off economically, morally. It comes together with economic crisis, but it also comes together with moral crisis of society after more than 20 years of post-communist transformation.
Is this perception putting young people off from entering politics and maybe effecting a change for the better in time?
Yeah, well, the loss of future is in the mind of the people. It's disturbing, but the situation is not totally hopeless. People did not resign on public affairs in general. They still are relatively active. It means that they intend to attend the elections. They are still interested in politics. They are not that much alienated from politics that they would totally resign on public sphere.
What about young people entering politics?
That's the young people. It's a big question mark of the future development. Until recently, we could observe that the young generation is not interested in politics at all. They abstain to a large extent from elections, and they seem to be driven by other issues than public affairs. In the last elections, there was a slight change which showed a bigger interest of the young generation in politics, and it was reflected by the fact that their proportion of people who attended elections was roughly the same as the proportion of the young people in the population. Before that, elections were attended much more by older generation than by the young. What will happen in the next election, it's a big question mark, and what intrigues me the most is whether the young generation would be able to activize itself and say, well, that style of politics, what we have, is not acceptable anymore. But there are no signs to show such a development yet.
There is now general disgruntlement with the performance in office of the three centre-right parties. Has that made the Communist Party more acceptable to the public?
The Communist Party is not a nightmare, which used to be during the 90s. Partly it's the factor of two decades which passed since the breakdown of communism. Another factor is that anti-communist campaigns always appear very shortly before every election to scare people of the future and to show that the communists are the biggest threat. And a large proportion of people who don't like communists themselves say, well, what you try to do is not fair. If you really feel that communists are so bad that they make a big harm to the society, so move to get them out. So it's a somewhat more complicated issue. If you ask people whether or people of leftist orientation, whether the possible coalition of CSSD, it's social democracy and communists, would be acceptable to them, the majority would say yes. And even people who are, as I have said before, even people who are of the anti-communist persuasion think that it's just utilitarian misuse of the anti-communist card, which is taken time to time just to manipulate the situation, and that it's not a real issue of this society.
Right. Now, Czechs usually react to bad times with a wicked sense of humour. They poke fun of politicians. There are satirical plays. Is this happening now? Because times are certainly bad as far as, you know, opinion polls indicate.
Well, you are right that usually Czechs take the complicated situation with a lot of humour. I think that this time it's a bit blue. It's due to the fact that they are losing the trust in the future and in even in long-term future improvement, and it does not make that humor much happy or easy to flow. We can hear jokes time to time, but the jokes are a bit bitter, to say.
A recent opinion poll suggested that Czechs no longer had the old sense of pride in being Czech. Do you think that what is happening in Czech politics is aiding this process, that people feel that they're ashamed of their politicians and how the Czech Republic is seen and presented abroad?
Yes, I think that they are ashamed of their politicians. I would not say that they are losing national pride, and our data even describe the situation that the people who are proud of their nation and being proud of being Czechs, they are also being proud of being Europeans and the member of European Union. But they are confused by their representation. They are ashamed of their politicians. They are largely disoriented and disenchanted from the situation, and it brings about a general feeling of insecurity and uneasiness.
That was Jan Hartl of the polling agency STEM talking there to Daniela Lazarova for that edition of Panorama. Topping off our show now for today is the next edition of our language learning series, The ABCs of Czech.
Welcome to ABC of Czech. I'm Heather Baun, and
Dita Asiedu
joins me in the studio. In today's program, we're taking up the Czech equivalent of the English expression, I know it like the back of my hand, which in Czech is
Znám to jako své boty.
This expression translates literally as, I know it like my own shoes. So on the theme of knowing shoes, let's get to know some Czech shoes.
České boty.
If you've ever been a guest in a Czech home, you know that shortly after stepping in the door, and often even before a proper greeting, you'll be expected to change your shoes.
Přezout se.
And put on house shoes.
Bačkory.
Your kids, on the other hand, will be offered
Bačkorky
or
Bačkurky.
Little house shoes. Czechs have a tradition of inside or house shoes, which aren't to be confused with our notion of slippers, as I have yet to see pink, fluffy house shoes. Czech house shoes,
bačkory,
can be slip-ons,
pantofle,
from the French pantufla, or simply
sandály,
sandals.
Papuče
are warm slippers, the most reminiscent of our notion of slippers, generally a plaid or corduroy fabric with a hard rubber sole.
Trepky
are light slippers and often simply resemble a pair of short socks.
Dřeváky
are wooden shoes or clogs derived from the Czech word for wood.
Dřevo. Dřeváky
is also the word which refers to the traditional shoes worn in the Netherlands. No matter which kind of inside shoes Czechs wear, they are always worn and usually worn with socks. The phenomenon of changing shoes is not limited to guests. In a Czech house, it is not uncommon to find
bačkory
by the stairs to the first floor,
první patro,
as well as by the stairs to the basement,
suterén,
not to mention by the door to a terrace or garden,
zahrádka,
and in an apartment there will even be
bačkory
by the door to the balcony,
balkon.
But there are still more changing shoes. When students go to school, they wear
bačkory
as well. Little kids aren't usually allowed to wear
pantofle
or
trepky
because the teachers say they might run and slip or step on each other's shoes. Everybody has to wear shoes with some kind of a sole so they get enough foot support. I hope you've enjoyed today's lesson and
už znáte české boty jako své boty.
That you now know Czech shoes like the back of your hand, or literally, you know Czech shoes as your own. Until next time.
Naschledanou.
That was the ABCs of Czech, wrapping up Radio Prague's English program for today. Don't forget that this program and every other is available at our internet address, radio.cz. If you have any questions or comments, we are always happy to hear them. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz, on Facebook or Twitter under Radio Prague, or, of course, by post to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague. From me, Christian Falvey, thanks for listening.